Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
McSorley waits, takes the snap, back he goes, pressure from the edge, steps away from it, looks downfield, he'll keep it and go to the five, goal line, touchdown, Penn State, Trace McSorley brings it home for his sixth rushing touchdown of the year, and for the fourth time in the last five games, the Nittany Lions open the game with a touchdown drive.
In the shotgun, two left, two right. Back goes McSorley, steps up in the pocket, delivers downfield. Gesicki got it, 45-50, and a first down for Penn State to the Indiana 47-yard line.
Takes the snap back. Screen, inside screen, through traffic, and Penn State covers it. And it fumbled the football. He fumbled it at the 22. They'll get in there in a pile. No excitement by Penn State yet. Penn State saying they have it. And Penn State gets the football.
It's Devontae.
He fumbles the football. And Penn State recovers. Kevin Givens on top of it with the fumble recovery at the Penn State 46-yard line.
On the reverse goes to Mitchell Page. 45-50. Fumbles the football on the turf. Penn State recovers again. Gilligan takes it. Punches at it. And running away from his Page, hits at the six, bounces in the air. Did it hit an Indiana player? It might have at the six-yard line. Penn State recovers. It hit an Indiana player, and Christian Campbell recovers.
First and goal at the Indiana six. Back goes McSorley. Over the middle. Got him. Touchdown. Penn State, Chris Godwin. And Penn State cashes in the takeaway and takes the lead.
Lego. Motion toward us.
Same play.
Same play. Rolls near side. Looks, waits, delivers in the end zone, and it's intercepted. No, incomplete. It doesn't matter. Brandon Smith played it beautifully. Sorley taking his time. Gets a snap from Brian Gaia. Back. Waits. Delivers. Near corner of the end zone. Godwin reaches up. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State.
Barkley to the left of McSorley on second and five. It's Barkley again. Tosses it back to McSorley. Throws it long and deep down the middle. Wide open. Hamilton got it to 20, 15, to the 10, to the 5, and down to the 3. First and goal on the flea flicker.
Godwin far side. He has two touchdown catches today. Near side, it's Tompkins and Hamilton looking for the lead.
They give it to Barkley. Up the middle. Touchdown. Penn State, the Nittany Lions, retake the lead with 12:23 to go.
Barkley stays to the right of McSorley. McSorley takes it. It's going to be Barkley. Up the middle. Lowers the shoulder. Touchdown. Penn State, the Nittany Lions, go back in front with 3:58 to go.
Yazian waits. Good snap. Put down by Fessler. Kick by Davis is up. The kick by Davis is gone. And Penn State leads 38-31 with 1:07 to go.
Lego with Redding to his right. Lego play action. Pressure. Steps up. Here comes Bell. Fumbles the football. Picked up at the 10-yard line to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Torrance Brown and the Nittany Lions cap off a great win at Indiana today.
Resiliency, gutsy. That's a good football team on the road. Big Ten. They battle everybody really tough. Obviously, up front, we were really struggling. We lost Paris. Then we lost McGovern. And we're down a bunch of guys on the offensive line. I think we only have one offensive lineman playing the position that he started the beginning of the year at. It's been a scramble. But we battled through. We got them settled down at halftime. Our defense played huge. Got a bunch of turnovers. We didn't capitalize on them early on. And our special teams were just really solid all day long. Real gutsy performance. I'm really proud of this team because, you look at our entire season, each win has kind of been different, and that's what good young teams that are growing, they figure out ways to win, so I'm really proud of them. The second half, we were able to make some plays on the perimeter. Trace made some plays with his feet, and it started to open some things up for us. But if you can't run the ball because you're twisting and blitzing all the time, and then you don't make plays on the perimeter, it's going to be a long day, and that's how the first half started.
And James Franklin, they're all exciting. They are all exciting. No question about that. So, What a win that was for Penn State on Saturday. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Joe Susan today. Is the suit working alone on Saturday? Is that what I see here?
That is correct.
The suit solo.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Maybe they can bring in mini suit to spot.
I was contemplating about going, and I'm thinking, well, if I say that, Kevin will be like, eh, you can hang in the booth and take care of some stats for me.
No. That's out. That's out.
Fool me once. Fool me twice.
Ooh, that is out. I'll tell you right now. So
well, you and Jack called it Saturday in the pregame show. It was going to be a close ball game. Certainly yeah. was 3.5 plus hours of excitement and tension, and pretty much came down to the last team with the ball getting the win, and they get that splash play and the scoop and score with under two to go.
Yeah, it's look. Thought it would be a tough game because Indiana's a good team. I didn't say they're a great team, an awesome team. They're a good team. Playing at home. Well, you play a good team on their field, you expect a battle. They won two in a row, they're feeling good about themselves. You know, and you talk about how Penn State battled back. Well, think about this. Indiana's down 7-0, battle back, 7-7. Down 14-7, battle back, tied at 14. Battle back, take the lead. Then Penn State, after being down 24-14, Penn State takes the lead 28-24. And what does Indiana do? They come right back and take the lead again. Okay, so that's that's what you've got, and then Penn State closed out, and then Penn State was the one in the end. But it wasn't as if Indiana didn't show any resiliency; they did. So, by the way, State College is going to be in your area on Friday night. High school football.
That's right. They'll be playing at Harold L. Bullock Memorial Field.
Yeah, they're going to play Williamsport and Selinsgrove. Grove.
Yeah, terrific matchup. I'm curious to see how the State College defense will do against that very high-powered Williamsport offense. Isaiah Hankins, top-notch quarterback. You got Trey Potts, who's a sophomore, and he's racking up. He'll be close to, if he gets two more years of football play at Williamsport, he could be putting up record numbers, getting up there into Gary Brown territory.
Yeah.
But for people in and around here that was at the Williamsport Shikellamy game, it definitely comes as no surprise as to how they're doing.
Now, is anybody in our area still alive?
Southern Columbia.
Oh, yes. Shocking.
Yes.
Stunning.
just another shutout last Friday night.
So is the long national nightmare of the suit stalking the stands at Danville over?
Yes, it was Montoursville. They moved on 28-10, defeating Danville.
Yeah, but I'm saying the number of notes I have from Danville fans saying, can you take this dude back? I mean, can you take him back, please, somebody?
Right. We won't divulge the names of those people, by the way. We'll keep that info confidential.
If we were to list the names, we'd be here for the rest of the show. Right? That's why we're not going to do it, because of time restraints. It would be easier to go through the people that go to the games that didn't complain. Okay, that would take like 10 minutes. The people that did complain would probably take two shows, probably be a three-part series. All right. Yeah, up and down. Look, they voted him off the island. Simple as that. Wanted him out. when it gets to the point where your own fans, well, I hope we don't move on. That way we can get rid of this guy. That's not good.
And with Jersey Shore's win over Selinsgrove on Friday night, they will move on to states. They will be taking on Johnstown. Ironically enough, that was the team that Selinsgrove beat in first round of states last year. So Johnstown, yeah. Jersey Shore, they will play that game at Williamsport, and that's a 1 p.m. kick on Saturday.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Obviously, let's get into a couple quick things. Let's start with football. When you have to scotch tape what they did in the offensive line on Saturday, and you still find a way and figure out a way to win. Remember, Indiana led the game 24-14. That means Penn State outscored Indiana 31-7 from that point. Trace McSorley, we can talk about the intangibles that he brings to the table. leadership, guts, resiliency. But the guy's just a good football player. He's a good football player. And that, above all, is what I really like about him. He knows the game, he understands the game, and he knows how to make plays in the game. And that is what you look at him, and he, remember, he got banged up early in that game. Barkley is just Barkley. Yeah, it's not a 200-yard game, but he made a run. You heard the touchdown run he made. He made a run before that. Was what, a 15, 17-yard run where he should have been stopped for about 8, maybe 7, and just carried and pushed people the next 7 or 8 yards. Remarkable.
If you're just looking at Barkley's numbers, just his individual numbers on Saturday, you would think that Indiana would have won the game being a low-scoring game, let alone a total of 70-plus points on the board between both teams.
Well, there was a play where they threw, it was a touchdown pass that was thrown to Godwin, and he faked it to Barkley, and 4 Indiana players went with Barkley. 4 of them. And it cleared it out for everybody else. 4 players went with Barkley on a fake. Now, Ryan Bates had to go from left guard to left tackle. Steven Gonzalez had to fill in at left guard. Then they brought in Derek Dowry. Then when Connor McGovern went down in the fourth quarter, Dowry had to go over to right guard. So you had Chaz Wright and Ryan Bates as your tackles. You had Derek Dowry and Steven Gonzalez as your guards and Brian Guy at center. That was your down-the-stretch offensive line for Penn State. Defensively, they did a good job with they got away with a couple on deep balls where they were beat. One to Westbrook, they didn't. But for the most part, they kept the ball in front of them. You know, they created 5 takeaways in the game. They cashed in 2 for touchdowns. So they got 14 points off of takeaways. And once it became 24-14 and they were in that mode where they couldn't give up really much more, they only gave up the 1 score. So, and then special teams-wise, they got the fumble off the ball to hit James. There was that one snap to Gilligan where Gilligan, I think it was not Tyler's, Yazian's fault. I think Gilligan just misplayed it. Then he still kicked it out of there. And obviously what Julius did kicking off, Davis hit a field goal in the clutch when they needed it. Cover teams were really good. There was one that Indiana decided to run back, and they got it back to the 15-yard line. I'll tell you, Miles Sanders makes a difference on kickoff returns, doesn't he? Miles Sanders makes a big difference. So now they're in an interesting spot. We'll talk about that spot in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Where once again, one member of the broadcast unit of the great Sunbury broadcasting team had to come in to pump his own tires about what he's doing. That was, I'm sorry, Sean. I wish we had a tape of it. That was a sad deal.
I said, I already have this covered.
I mean, I had to come in casual conversation. You know, I'm doing the Bucknell game. I just want to make sure you guys knew that. Already, okay. Asked and answered. Thank you. Okay. To quote the great Fran Fisher, go sell something.
He had a little hint of Ted Baxter, all a Mary Tyler Moore show in his voice. Oh. Did you notice that?
It all began at a 5,000-watt radio station in Fresno, California, where I was known as Mini Suit. All right. Penn State's in an interesting spot, obviously. You want every game, of course, no matter what, has its own importance to it. Because if you're not going to play the games, then what, each one has their own importance to the unit you're with and the time frame that you're in. Take Rutgers, for example. What's the importance for them on Saturday? Well, they got a chance to knock off a team like Penn State. It's senior night. They played decently at home. Let's see how it plays out. Okay, so I mean, so that's what they're looking at. But for Penn State, you want to get to this stage of the season and have big stakes. Well, now Penn State looks around, and because of their hard work and their effort and their six-game winning streak, they have a chance to make it seven in a row, and now they've put themselves where they're playing for stakes. The stakes are quite simple right now. It's easy to boil down. Now the question is, does it happen? If Penn State wins its last two games and Ohio State wins its last two games, Penn State is going to the Big Ten championship game. That's it. That's it. It's as simple as that. If Penn State wins its last two games and Ohio State wins its last two games, Penn State is going to Indianapolis to play in the Big Ten championship game. Now, let's see if they can make it happen. It does not matter who they are playing on Saturday night. It is a big game for Penn State. The opponent is irrelevant. Okay? What they've done to this point is irrelevant. It's a game they have to win. It's a game they have to win. That's where they are right now. How they're going to put together the offensive line, what's available, I don't know yet. I don't know. I probably could have had some clue if I'd gone over to practice last night, but I had a basketball game opposite that, so I did not. So I don't know what they did last night. But it's a big game. And big games and big moments only happen with big opportunities. And they have a big opportunity. And they've put themselves in this position. It's not a question of, oh, Clemson lost and Texas A&M lost and Auburn lost and Washington won and Michigan lost. Yeah, they lost because they didn't take advantage of their opportunities. It's up to Penn State now to say, you know, fine, whatever you did. Now it's up to Penn State to take care of its own business and take care of its own opportunities. But it sure is an interesting spot to be in. Let's see what they can do with it. Hey, by the way, did you happen to see the memo? I'm sorry, did you see the billboard on Route 15, Sean?
Which one was that?
The one that was flashing, the suit is broadcasting Bucknell football Saturday.
I'll check it out on the way home.
Or find an alternate route.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Why? Because they find the best insurance at the right price that fits you and your needs. I don't care if it's personal, auto, commercial, business, whatever it happens to be. They have a division that's going to help you. And if there's a claim, they'll jump on that claim as if it happened to them. Customer service means everything to them. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history, then Joe Susan. Sid Luckman, first to throw for 400 yards in a game. He did so 433 against the Giants in State 1943. This is the day of the tragic Marshall University football team plane crash in 1970, 37 killed. 1993, Don Shula, NFL record 325th career victory. And 1995, ESPN Radio acquired the exclusive rights to broadcast NBA games. All right, that's this day in sports history. Joe Susan and the Bucknell Bison getting the job done as they took care of business and beat Georgetown Saturday 21-7. Joe, welcome. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you, Steve. Great win for our kids. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly the season goes. We have one game left, one more game with our seniors, and good to have it at home. You know, we've been fortunate with the weather. As coaches, we all become weather professionals, whether we like it or not. And we're just excited about getting this thing finished, but also getting it started.
Yeah, and you're on the verge of doing both right now. You played the entire second half with the lead. What did that mean to the psyche of your kids as this played through?
Well, we talked about it at halftime, you know, scoring right before the end of the first half against a pretty good defense. They were ranked first in the league in terms of scoring defense and second in the league in terms of overall defense. But when you get that lead right before the half, the momentum that carries through the half, and then our defense goes on the field and, well, gets us the ball right back. One of the things that we did a very good job with in the second half, and it's part of our approach, we handed the ball to our offensive line. And having five seniors, actually at times having six offensive linemen on the field, we possessed the ball for over 20 minutes in the second half. And our defensive kids that took every snap of the game took 52 snaps. And that's the way we're supposed to play when we're playing right.
13 possessions each. You end up at your own 38 average start. Their average starts to 27. That's plus 11 yards per possession. In the end, that's 143 yards in your favor. Can you put a price on what the starting position meant and those 143 yards?
You know, it's a great tribute to how we play the game, but it's also a great tribute to how John Bowes coaches our special teams. From a kickoff return standpoint, we started at the 45. And Brett Berg is really, technically, he's leading the league in punting. And I think he averaged 44 that day. The way he hits it, people don't want to field it. And he's been lucky with his bounces. But it's field position. When you tilt the field like that, and you have that field position advantage, it really plays into how we play the game in terms of shortening the game with our offensive line and then forcing them into third down situations that become unmanageable, and keeping their possessions short, our possessions long, and ultimately wearing them down with our run game, because nobody's that deep in the defensive line, especially this time of year.
Yeah, 39 minutes of possession in the game on your side of it. Very impressive. It is senior day for you coming up. What has this senior class meant to you and the growth of the program?
Well, you know, it's one of the most rewarding things about this crowd is to see them change from who they were when they got here to who they're on the verge of being. And, you know, it's still 18 to 23-year-olds. So in my mind, they're still, in many ways, kids.
Right.
And but it's such a reward to see them take the next step. And obviously, there's going to be some tears and sadness in that the relationship you have with them, though, it will remain, it will change, and it will change forever. Hopefully, in many ways, it still remains player-coach, coach-player. But, you know, they take the next step in their lives, and for them, I've always said the way they do things, success comes by design, not by chance. And hopefully that they've benefited by understanding what it takes to work hard, understanding what it takes to be disciplined with your time, and also understanding the concepts of being selfless, being accountable, and being mentally tough. And we're not all always those things, but the closer you are to those things, the more success you'll have. And, you know, just after the game, some of the guys that had graduated previously came down. Jimmy King, Tana Idiakumbel, you say that three times fast. Josh Haywood, and, you know, you hug those guys. And one of the things one of the kids said, they said, "The things you said to me, I hear every day in my head." And what that does for you is there's a little bit of reinforcement that you're doing it right. And believe me, the way I do things is purely a feeble attempt to pay it forward because of the guys that did it for me. And I was fortunate to be coached the right way, and somebody cared about me way beyond the field. So there'll be some tears. Hopefully those are replaced by 60 minutes of great football, and then afterwards in the locker room, a lot of hugs. But and then, like I said earlier, you every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. It's a song, I'm not sure who sang it, but it's a lyric that rings in my head, in my heart. And there's a lot of work we have to do to continue to build this program.
Joe, there are certain seniors that will be recognized with postseason accolades, first team Patriots, second, third, whatever. Others are recognized for being starters. There are certainly those in that senior class that probably didn't play a lot, but they contributed a lot that a coach appreciates. Who are a couple guys that fall into that category where the playing time part may not have worked out, but they were an important part of the football team and that part worked out?
There's three that come to mind right away. First off, Alexander Rumango, who he's a quarterback. Came out of Fox Chapel in Western PA, and just in terms of his reps at quarterback, he knew and we knew early he was going to be limited. But he's the holder on our placements and does an outstanding job with that. More so, he does a great job of being a communicator between players and coaches, rallying the younger players, and more than rallying them, pointing them in the right direction. The other guy is a guy named Anthony Del Russo, talented running back out of northern New Jersey, who, just because of the nature of the way our running back position has been with C.J. Williams, now with Joe DeFloria and Chad Freshnock, he's always been the next guy. But that young man has come to practice every day. He's an engineer, and he will do great things in his life. And then another guy that has really played a lot this year, some of it due to injury, but Troy Glenn, come out of high school a little bit undersized as a defensive lineman, but he works his tail off, and just the motor he has. And the thing that I'll say about him is that when he got here, he wasn't really sure what it took to be a Division I college football player in terms of work ethic, in terms of discipline, and his change is probably the most dramatic of the three that I talked about. And those are the things that really reinforce why you do what you do and how you do what you do. But, you know, I could go through all of our seniors. Ben Schumacher being injured in the first game. Right. His leadership continued without, you know, they had, when they had him under anesthesia, he really didn't do a great job of leading. He was sleeping. but since then, he has been on the field, and I hope we get the year back. You never know, because he's right. Also a 3.4 management major. They'll probably have a variety of job offers, and
right.
You know, those success stories on the field, off the field, and it's equal, you know, equal in priority. And you know, the thing that, and I'll knock on wood, the thing that we've been fortunate this semester so far, we've had no off the field issues. And
right.
If you can say that about 18 to 23 year olds, yeah. Those are things that are important to you. And I'm still knocking on wood.
Yeah, because every coach in the country has one fear when they're sitting there at midnight. I hope the phone doesn't ring at 2 a.m.
Amen.
Every coach feels the same way. Do you see, Joe, in this transition from, quote, endings to beginnings, a foundation in your junior, sophomore, and freshman class that have the ability to send you forward?
I really do. I think from a perimeter positions, you call them skill positions, I think we're going to be very gifted. I think the hard guys to replace will be a guy like Brett Berg, who does so many different things, a guy like Will Carter on the outside. But the most important people to replace are the five senior offensive linemen. And when you get a group of five together that play like they play, because there's so much there's so much nonverbal communication that goes on there. They know how they handle combination blocks together. They know by a look in each other's eyes that it's time to get this thing going. That's going to be our biggest challenge for the younger guys, and I think we have some gifted younger guys, but they got to be in the weight room. And actually now school, it's pretty easy here. They give them a full week off for Thanksgiving. It used to be like 3 days, but once they get back from the Thanksgiving break, we're going to start to be aggressive in the weight room. And obviously there's some things we got to heal, and our training room's done an outstanding job with that, but we got to be aggressive in the weight room because that's going to be a place where we need to take our biggest step.
Finally, obviously I know what a Joe Moorhead coach team now looks like firsthand. What about Fordham now? What kind of look do they have, and what concerns do they bring to your checklist?
They're very explosive offensively, and you know, that's a carryover from how Joe did it. Very similar offensively in terms of the way they attack, and I think they've done a good job of staying relatively injury-free. The combination of their quarterback, Kevin Anderson, and Chase Edmonds, but they have a 6'8" tight end. They're skilled on the outside. Defensively, they've had to have dealt with some injuries. One of the things they are more now than in the past is a man-to-man team, man-free, some two-deep man under. And what that's telling you is that they feel confident that they're going to be able to cover you and disrupt your quarterback with four or five man rush, and that's what we got to be right with. But Andrew Briner, really smart young coach. I think he started with Joe at Connecticut as an assistant there, and when Joe moved, Andrew did too. And I've gotten to know him pretty well. They are explosive offensively, one of the more explosive teams in the league, and one of the things that people have been able to do is move the football on them, and you know, that's got to be what we do, because one of the best ways to defend Chase Edmonds and Anderson is keep them off the field.
Joe, congratulations on a fabulous win at Georgetown. Good luck on Saturday with Fordham.
Thanks. We're going to be able to talk next week, or are we going right to Thanksgiving?
If you want to talk next week, we'd love to have you on.
I'll be here.
I would love to have you on.
Done deal.
Because I'm not sure if Kevin's going to be the turkey or is a turkey or.
You know, there's all sorts of ways to stuff one.
I got to send you the sideline picture of him. It's outstanding. He looks like he's on a headset. I will send that to you guys.
Just text it to me, Joe.
All right,
and then we'll get a billboard.
All right. I'm sure you will. Take care, gentlemen. Have a
Thanks,
great
Joe.
Day. Take
you
care.
Too.
Bye.
Thanks.
Don't forget about the gigantic billboard on Highway 15. The suit is doing the game alone on Saturday. Meanwhile, I've talked Sean out of doing something stupid. Sean, I would like you to go to the game because I want Joe Susan, who's an outstanding coach, to be supported. But I want you to sit in the stands. You are not under any circumstances to help the suit.
Okay.
I mean, you could do stats and be a spotter. No, you're getting paid. You're on your own.
I'm off the clock.
I'm off the clock, so really, good luck to you. I mean, imagine stopping in to our show to talk about the Steelers, but make sure that you knew that he was doing the game. Oh, it's just, some people are very transparent, Sean. Very transparent. We're proud to have Bucknell football coming up on Saturday. Is that going to be on 100.9 The Valley, right?
Yes, football will be on 100.9 The Valley. Bucknell, Butler, basketball, that will be on Eagle 107. That's a 1 o'clock tip with Doug.
Yeah, that's at Hinkle, right? That's in Indianapolis, right?
Yes.
It's a road game.
Yeah.
Hinkle Fieldhouse, which is where they filmed the final scene of Hoosiers.
Which, by the way, this could have qualified for an item in this day in sports history. We posted it on our Steve Jones Show Facebook and Twitter earlier today. Today marks the 30th anniversary of the release of the movie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, Bucknell's playing there. I did one game there once. you kind of walk in and go, oh, wow. Like, this is really cool. Okay. Then after that, you know, for me, the emotion kind of ends. I'm like, hey, great, okay.
Then you got a job to do.
Time to go to work. Can't sit around and go, wow, Gene Hackman was in here. I've been in a lot of places Gene Hackman's been to. It really didn't, you know, light me up then either, and I think he's a great actor. So, hey, Kevin's the only guy I know that, like, walks down the streets of Manhattan and says, I'm walking in the same place Gene Hackman did in French Connection. Okay, great. Okay, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When is the right time to start talking about the holidays? It's now, because the Holidays on Us sales event is back at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia can't wait any longer to get into full holiday mode. And you'll feel the same with Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. Just listen to this gift from Sunbury Motors Kia. No payments until April. You heard right, April. Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2016 Optimus, Optima Hybrid, and Souls. And all 2017 Fortes and Serenos. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. With 0% financing for up to 66 months and no payments until April, you can't afford that Thanksgiving feast, overspend on presents for the family, and still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Dick from Milton called, had a really good question. I think essentially what it deals with, what does it take, I think, to rent out the Jordan Center for a team? Is that about what he wanted to know?
Yeah, the mechanics of who plays at the Jordan Center, for instance, like for a Penn State wrestling dual meet, to have that there instead of Rec Hall.
Well, I mean, you have to, obviously things have to fall into place in the schedule. Let's start with that, because the Jordan Center is run by Housing and Food Services. It is not run by the athletic department. And so when you have a schedule, what concerts do you have scheduled there? What Lady Line basketball games do you have scheduled there? What men's basketball games do you have scheduled there? So the dates then start to fill in. Now, men's basketball and Lady Line basketball both have to rent the Jordan Center to do anything in there. They have to rent it for practice. They have to rent it for games. I mean, there's a money transaction that takes place between athletics and Housing and Food Services to make it happen. To have office space there, you have to rent it. So the rent is not stifling. This is not where they're trying to fleece everybody to do it, but there still is a rental to do it. But it's not overwhelming. But you still have to. Now, I believe when Penn State wrestled Iowa 2 years ago, the Jordan Center waived the fee to do it. And so it worked out well for everybody. I don't think they waived it last year for Ohio State. This year with Lehigh, I'd have to get an answer on that. I don't know. But it's not really an overwhelming number. It just becomes a big number, for example, for men's basketball when you have to do it 18 times. And then you have to add in all the times that you have to rent it to practice. So Penn State's practicing or playing a game in there 5 times a week at minimum from September 28th until the middle of March. So that's where the number starts to add up. You take, for example, the wrestling program. If they only had to rent it for dual meets and say it was 8 of them, it really would not be a high fee because they practice over in the wrestling room. Men's basketball has to rent out its office space, its practice floor space, and its game space. So that's where the number then starts to add up. Wrestling's not in that position because their offices and their practices at Rec Hall.
For news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.